Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. If you're one of those that are living from service to service and you haven't been developing your relationship with Jesus during the week and haven't been really praying or reading your Bible and have just been running pell-mell and all the pressures of the life and the world are upon you today, I encourage you to step up your relationship with the Lord. We need to have a relationship, a daily relationship with Jesus. We need to walk with Him and talk with Him and meditate on His Word all throughout the day and not just coming up on the weekend services. We need to have a walk with God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God after he had Methuselah, I believe, or whatever the name of his son was. He walked with God, Brother Philip, for 300 years. Aren't you thankful that the Lord, we were having a Bible study the other day, and Brother Scott Keel said, boy, he said, man, hoping he doesn't mind me sharing this little anecdote, he said, boy, and it was really kind of insightful on his part, boy, it's a good thing that our lives are shorter than what they used to be, because that's a long time to have to live for God and put up with the irritations of the world. He walked with God for 300 years. I'm here to tell you, no wonder the Lord took him. He probably walked with God faithfully longer than anybody in the Bible or anybody in the human race ever had before. Let's look in our Bibles in the book of Psalm chapter 23. I want to read 8 through 11 there. A couple of David's mighty men. We'll try to pronounce them as best we can. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahoite, one of three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He rose up. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood. Everybody say, he stood.
He stood.
But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Hallelujah. And then let's look in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, in the New Testament. Just a few books in the Bible from the end of the Bible. Go backwards, Revelation, Jude, and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, and you will find the book of James and then the book of Hebrews. And we're going to read there from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And I want to read a bunch of verses there, and I think I will take my liberty. Hebrews chapter 10, and beginning at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. Everybody say, hold fast.
Hold fast.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I will read the rest of this in due time, but in due course. But I want to preach for a few moments while the Spirit is moving, holding your ground. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, we know today that many trials and many are the afflictions of the righteous. But we also know that the Bible says you deliver them out of them all. We know that the Bible says the righteous will fall seven times. But God, the Word also says that we will get back up every single time. And we just praise you for the promises, and we praise you for the help that you give us in our times of need. And we just are thankful today, God, to be in your house. Have your way in the Word right now, we pray in Jesus' name. If you want the Lord to have his way in the Word, would you say amen? It is by the blood of Jesus. There is no other message, and there is no other way. There is no other fix. There is no other cure than but the blood of Jesus that makes us clean and that makes us perfect in the eyes of God. I love that song. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. And in his defeat, as he hung shamed and tortured and abused, defeated by his foes and adversaries, and there as his blood trickled down, Jesus wrought a great victory, the greatest victory that has ever been known since the beginning of the human race, and the greatest victory that will ever be known in the human race's future and in all of eternity. Only one man, only one sacrifice, only one bloodshed, and because of that, everything has changed. Aren't you thankful today that the blood of Jesus is cleansing you from all sin and making you righteous and clean in the eyes of God? Where would we be without Jesus and his blood that he shed? And the Bible says that when he shed that blood, that there was the veil in the Old Testament, the tent that they set up in the wilderness. There were two rooms in the tent, and the one room was the common room that the priests would go in every day. And there was a table of bread, and there was a golden candlestick, a candelabra, if you will, and there was a little altar where incense was burned. But there was a curtain that separated the common room from the holy room, and nobody was allowed to go into that holy room except God's chosen high priest, and only once a year, and only after the shedding of blood. Nobody was allowed in there, and I preached this to you already this year, and you know it. But when Jesus died, of course the tent had long since decayed away and fell into shambles and ruins at Shiloh. And then since that time, a temple had been built and destroyed, and another one built in its place. The Bible says that empty temple, that tomb of a place that should have had Ichabod, which means God has departed from it, written over the top of it. Amen. That empty shell, came a man named Jesus, and he walked into the courts, and he walked into that temple, and he began to turn over the tables, and he began to chase out the money changers, and he began to teach and preach, because the king, the son, had come to his people suddenly. And the Bible says when Jesus, hanging on the cross of the hill of Golgotha, there nailed to a tree, the Bible says that when he shouted and he gave up the ghost and he died on that tree, the Bible says that that veil that was there in that empty temple, and there was nothing behind it but an empty room, the Bible says from the top to the bottom that veil was torn in two, literally in half, and that thing probably weighed hundreds of pounds with the largeness of the room that it was in. And Jesus opened up a new way into the presence of the living God. Aren't you thankful that when Jesus' blood was shed, that God
said, now anybody, Jesus was prophesying, and when he said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Oh, if any man drinks of the waters that I have to give, he will never thirst again. And Jesus opened up that way, and he opened up that well, and he got that well when he shed his blood on Calvary. And now, church, those of us that have put our trust in Jesus, and those of us that have put our hope in him, when we have a need, when we're going through a trial, when we are in a situation, the Bible says we can open up our mouth and we can speak freely before God, and we can come to him because of the blood of Jesus. And when I speak right here in this altar, that God is hearing me in heaven. And when I speak in my garage, when I'm walking around Stacy's car and praying and speaking in the Holy Ghost, that God hears me in heaven. Not because I'm eloquent of speech, and not because I'm somebody special, or because of my last name, or my college education, or my bank account, or prayers, or dedication, or anything that I have done or will do, but because of the blood of Jesus that he sees on my heart. God hears from heaven. Hallelujah. He hears from heaven, and he forgives sins, and he meets our needs. The hardest part of living for God is not getting saved. It's staying that way. The hardest part of living for God is not being forgiven of our sins, but it's remaining without sin. That's why God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, because we cannot do it on our own. We can't save ourselves, and we can't keep ourselves saved. We can only do it through the power of the blood of Jesus. Well, you have to have a part. You have to have a responsibility. Yes, you do. You have a responsibility to open up your mouth and run to that throne and call on the name of Jesus. Save yourselves, Peter said, from this untoward generation. How do you do that? You have to run to Calvary. You have to run to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find help in the time of our needs. Because there's going to be times when you want to give up. There's going to be times when you're going to doubt what you have been taught. There's going to be times when God tests you. We're studying in our Bible, said that God, the Bible says God spoke to Abraham and he said, and I'm going to test Abraham, and I'm going to tell him to sacrifice his only son, because I want to know what's really in his heart. There's going to be times when God himself is going to test us. There's going to be times when the adversary is going to hit us with everything that he has. And we're not going to want to maintain our position. We're not going to want to hold on. We are going to want to turn tail and run. Why is it that so many people, when the going gets tough, they turn and they run in the other direction, and they say, this is too much, this is too hard, and I'm giving up quickly. I'm here to tell you today, church, a word from the Lord, a very simple word, a very point-blank word. You have got to hold your ground. The hardest thing that you will ever do, one of the hardest battles that you will ever have to fight, is the fight of faith. And that fight is holding your ground on standing on what you believe to be true and know to be true, and not letting yourself slide back and slip away and turn your back and take your hand off of that plow ever. The Bible says that the first of David's heroes that he had attacked, let me turn back there and make sure. I believe it was the second of the heroes, Eleazar. The Bible says that he was so committed to the battle that his hand
became clenched and charley horses, Brother Philip. His hand muscles and his wrist muscles became, and you know this, how many of you this never happened to before? How many of you have been working and it happened to you before? And all of a sudden your arm starts going like that. You're like, strong arm. Hallelujah. Okay, you got a mind of his own today. And the Bible says he was so committed to the battle. The Bible says all the other Israelites had fled, but this Eliezer said, I'm going to hold my ground. And then the Bible says when the battle was over, his hand was literally, in the show about the crabbers in Alaska, they call it crabber's claw. Have you ever heard of it before? It's when you work your muscles so hard that they clench up like that and they won't let go. And he had fought so long and so hard and refusing to give up that they couldn't hardly get his hand off the sword that he was waging war with. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says that Jesus himself said that no man that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. You need to get your hands on the plow, and you need to hang on to that plow until your hands are so gripped with pain that even you cannot let go of that plow. We've got to hold our ground in our walk with God if we expect to see the promises that God has given to the church. There are things that will not happen overnight. There are perfections and things that God must do along the way. And there are many pieces in the puzzle and great things. What do they say about in the business world? They say, why do overnight successes take so long? Why do overnight successes take so much work? Why do overnight successes take so many years? Our friend Robbie Chitwood at the church in Cambria, they have had massive donations. They built the biggest building. People in town come to their church just to get a tour of it because it's the biggest and prettiest building in town. Let me tell you, the church that they were in before that was, I believe, smaller than this one. They were running 90 to 100 people on Sunday. And Brother Chitwood said, man, you know what? Brother, what are you doing? He said, Brother, I don't know. I've been here for 30 years. But he said, I'm going to hold my ground. I'm not going to let go of this plow. I'm going to stay in here until God begins to move like I know that he can. You have got to hold your ground. Sometimes we're going to be tempted by sin to go back to the old way. The first thing the Israelites did when they came out of Egypt and they got into a little bit of trouble and a little bit of a dilemma, the first thing they said was, why did you bring us out here? We want to go back to Egypt. What's the first thing they said? We had it better in Egypt. Well, of course you had it better in Egypt. You were living in a dynasty that extend thousands of years in historical ways. Of course you had it good in Egypt. But it's so hard out here. Of course it's hard out there. You're in the middle of the desert, baby. God's taking you somewhere. He's made some promises to a man named Abraham, and he's getting ready to fulfill him. He told Abraham, your people will be captives for 400 years in Egypt. But and 400 years expired, and God called a man named Moses, and he said, come on, people, God's taking us to the promised land. And the first thing they did when they got out and had a little bit of a struggle was begin to whine and complain and want to go back to Egypt. It says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses.
of how much sore punishment. Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I like what Brother Willie said in our home group a week or two ago. He said we were talking about confessing our sins, and we got into the conversation, and the thought came up that we're not just confessing to God what we have done wrong. We're not just approaching God hoping to be forgiven and hoping not to get in trouble, but we are confessing how thankful we are. We are confessing our gratitude towards him. Sometimes there is a serious lacking of gratitude within the hearts of the people of God for the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. And I don't care what it is that we feel led to complain about. It is always inappropriate unless we're in a prayer closet and sharing those things with God and laying and bearing our hearts before him. We need to live a life of gratitude and thankfulness. Moses warned the people when they came into the promised land. He said, unless you live with a grateful and a thankful heart, God is going to take everything away from you. Friend, I don't know about you, but I want to hold my ground. I want to understand that there is a reason and a purpose, and that there is a Savior who paid a price. And I don't want to let any lie of the devil, I don't want to let any discouraging spirit, I don't want to let any doubtful spirit, any confusing spirit, any accusatory spirit, any spirit of futility to come against me and to stop me from standing my ground and what I know is right in the kingdom of God. I may not have any fancy tactics, and I may not be that great of a leader per se, as it were. I may never receive a medal, and I may never take a hill. I may never bring down a fortress. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes the most important battles that are fought in war, in life and in the spirit and in the church, are not the battles where we're taking strongholds, but it's the battles where we're holding our ground. Sometimes the bloodiest battles are the ones where everything and every power in hell is coming against the church to try to get the church to give up, to try to get the church to turn back, to try to get you to reject your faith in God. Sometimes the most bloodiest, painful, and most pivotal battle is not the one where you're taking enemy territory, but it's the one where you're fighting the good fight of faith, and you're holding on and holding fast and hanging on and not letting anybody or anything through the line. And you're holding the ground that God has given you. You're minding that rule, and you are tending to the understanding and the faith and the level of maturity that God has given you. If God grows you in the faith and he shows you things, do not ever back down from it or go backwards in your walk with God. You hang on to what God has given to you with a tenacity that where your hands are literally stuck to the plow and stuck to the sword and stuck to the weapons. Then there was Shammah. The Philistines were gathered together in a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of beans. And the Bible says the people fled from the Philistines. There's going to be times, friend, where everybody else is going to give up. There's going to be times when everybody else is going to throw in the towel. There's going to be times when nobody else wants to defend. There's going to be times where everybody says, a bean patch is not worth my life.
Bible says Shammah saw things differently. Shammah saw things differently. And the Bible says there in verse number 12 that he stood his ground. And he defended it. He stood his ground and he defended it, and he slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. There are too many people that give up too easy. There are too many people that give up too easy. We need to hold our ground in the Holy Ghost, in the work of God, in the kingdom of God. We need to hold our ground. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, you will be hated of all men because of my name. But the one who stands firm till the end will be saved. There's no prize and there's no reward for quitting. There's no prize and there's no reward for turning around and running away. Only those who stand fast and hold their ground will receive the reward that God has to give for those who are faithful. We may not seem to be visibly moving forward. It may seem that though we're just stuck in the same place and can't seem to get anywhere, but hold your ground.
Yeah, that's right.
God hasn't healed me yet. Hold your ground. God hasn't delivered me yet. Hold your ground. Because there's a million different things that are transpiring around that situation. It may not seem like anything to you. I'm here to tell you, God hears and answers our prayers. I'm here to tell you, yes, the Lord, we get spoken to, and lies and doubts creep into our hearts and minds, and sometimes the people of God aren't any help, and everybody's running, and people are complaining, and all sorts of things are going on. But you know what you got to do? At the end of the day, you got to stand on the rock, Christ Jesus. It says that the weapons of our warfare are not mighty, that are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, and they're pulling down the strongholds. It goes on and says, and when you have done all that you know you can do, when you know that, now some people haven't done anything. Now I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to point any fingers and say who's doing what. That's between you and the Lord. But the Bible says when you know that you have done all that you know how to do, then it's time for you to stand and hold your ground. Put on the whole armor of God and stand and hold your ground. And God's deliverance will come to you in the season that He has chosen for it to come. But we must hold our ground. Faith is not faith when we speak and God answers at the snap of our fingers. Faith is not faith when we get everything we want, when we want it, how we want it. But faith is developed when God ignores your prayer. Faith is developed when God acts like He didn't hear what you were saying. Faith is developed when God says, I'm going to answer you in a little while. Let's just see what's in your heart. And let's just see how determined you are. And let's grow your faith and strengthen your faith. And begin, and people that don't give up, people that don't complain, people that don't turn their back, but hold on. I know sometimes we get all kinds. I get in the prayer closet and I can tell you that I have some all kinds of conversations with God. God, why this and why that and why this and why that? I was praying several weeks ago. I said, God, I cannot do this on my own. I need you to help me. I need your strength. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to throw in the towel. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know what changed. But I get up in the morning and I feel good. I get up and I go about my day and I go in the prayer closet and I feel hope and I feel strength and I feel courage.
worship, and all of the things in my mind that I would use as an indicator for what's going to happen or what should be happening. All of those things may be negative as it were around me, but God has strengthened my faith through the trials. I'm holding my ground and believing that it's going to come to pass in God's time. I'm defending my ground that God has put me on. And I'm not going to let anybody talk me down or back me down, because I have the blood of Jesus, and I have the ear of the Almighty, and I don't need to answer to anyone but the living God. And when I'm answering to God, the Bible says there is no higher law than the law of love. But we are answering to that law. We are answering to God. God will back us up, and everything will come to its place around us. Whether you're arguing and fussing with somebody and you're fixing to get into a fight because you're so angry about situations that are happening, you go through the blood of Jesus to the throne of grace and ask God for help and see if He won't change that situation. You've got an employee that's aggravating and irritating and annoying, and you just want to throttle that person, and no matter what you do, it seems like they're always against whatever you want to do, and you're just aggravated. You hate the thoughts of even getting up and going to work. You go through the blood of Jesus to that throne of grace, and you call their name, and you let God work on the situation and see what God will do and what God will change, whether He needs to change us or whether He needs to change them or whether He needs to change us both. But we can go to Him, and the Bible says go with boldness. That word is confidence. And that word is frankness of speech. And what it means is freedom of speech. Everybody say freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech.
That is what that word means. You don't come to God any other way. But with the freedom and the liberty of speech that we have as a child to their Father. Father, I need your help in this moment and in this hour. And God always comes through.
Amen.
His love never fails. His love never, ever fails. And it is love that helps us and causes us to endure. I know it's a simple message today, and I don't want to belabor the point with you, but I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Church, now is not the time to throw in the towel. Now is not the time to give up. And I think, Brother Davis, maybe I'm just preaching to myself today. I don't know. Sometimes it seems that way. You know, turn the Bible around back and preach to myself. Well, the sword is double-edged, and it cuts both ways, and it cuts the preacher just as well as it cuts everybody else. But I still have to preach it. I struggle with it just the same as everybody else does, but I still have to live it. I trip and fall and stumble just like everybody else, but I still have to walk it. I still have to get back up and keep going. Now hold your ground, church. You don't need any other word today. But. That's the problem with too many Christians. There's too many buts. There's too many ifs and there's too many ands. And the ifs and the ands and the buts are always turned around upside down.
Well, if we had more people... Well, if we had a bigger church, well, if the Holy Ghost would have moved better today, well, you know, it's always ifs, this, and that. But we need to learn to use those words the way they're supposed to be used in the Bible. I am weak, I feel discouraged, but I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Discouraged and defeated, but if God will hear my prayer, I know that He can turn my situation around. That's the way we need to start talking and thinking and acting in the kingdom of God. And let's stop all this nonsense about Jesus died and shed His blood on Calvary. It's time that you make up your mind what you are going to do about it. It's time to stop playing games with the blood of Jesus. And it is time for us to take this seriously and begin to stand for the promises of God. Let's all stand together today. I feel it today. It's deep. It's dark. It's discouraging. I feel it in the house of God. Strangely enough, I feel the authority and the boldness of God. At the same time, these two things are working in our church. Give up. Throw in the towel. Just don't try anymore. You can feel those lies of the enemy creeping into the church. I've prayed and nothing's happened. What's the point anymore? The point is you need to hold your ground and let God be God. The point is we need to show that we have some grit in our soul and let God be God. God be God. Let me be his son. Let me be his child. You think those people that ran the other way? They were out of field of beans. Don't blame anybody but yourself if you lose your beans. Hallelujah. Those are your beans and you need to act like it. God has spoke something into your spirit in the prayer closet. That's yours. You need to act like it. You need to hold on to it. I know exactly what you're going through. When you get in that prayer closet, the dark thoughts are all over your head. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's lost. All is lost. All hope is lost. You might as well just give up. It's time for you to hold on.
Amen.
One of my, you'll forgive me for this, but one of my favorite guy flicks is called Master and Commander on the Other Side of the World. It's such a guy flick, there's not even any women in the movie except for like 5 seconds. Over a two hour movie, there's not even any women. It's a guy, it's all about guys and being on the high seas and trying to find their adversary and trying to survive the elements. And they're I don't know, Cape Horn, where they're at, way down south. And they were in a massive storm, winds blowing, huge waves in an old rickety wooden British boat, and the winds were so strong that the mast was broken off by the wind and the waves, and a man was on it and carried it to the sea and was lashed with many large ropes, and it was pulling the boat over like this, and you see all the guys in the bottom of the boat. And they're all climbing up on the high side trying to keep the boat from tipping over. And you see, in the Navy, they always brought young boys out there to train them and so they could be servants and stuff. And you see the eyes of some of those boys are like, you know. And one of the old grizzly sailors, he's got a tattooed on each of his fingers above his eyes, and it says, "Hold fast." And he gives that big old toothless grin. Hold fast. They were able to cut the ropes and have to let the guy that's on the sails and let him drown, and they're able to save the boat and the crew. And sometimes we feel like we are going to get overturned. Sometimes we feel like we are going to lose it. That's when we need to hold our ground. Hallelujah. Let's pray together today. Lord Jesus, there is a tremendous